This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Today is Monday, January 18th, 10:06 a.m. We are here in studio, ready for another fantastic day today. No matter where you are right now, no matter how you are listening to the show today, hey, thank you for tuning in. And today actually might be a little bit of a different way you're tuning in. Today being a national holiday, you might be listening at home. You might be listening on the app or tuning in on the Periscope live video feed. Hey, no matter where you are, how you're listening, we always appreciate you tuning in here on a Monday morning. Today is a special day. Not just do we have a great weekend of things to recap and talk about and break down today. Today is also a very special day in the fact that it is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Today is a national holiday, so you know, take the time. You know, you might not be going to work. Take the time to really dive into this day and remember the importance. But that being said, my name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, that is Charlie Collier. And, of course, the one and only Chance Collins back there, behind the booth. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today? Happy Monday. Start to the week.
So far, so good, Rick. Doing good.
Yeah. All right, good to hear.
Feeling good, feeling great. Like you say, it's a national holiday. It's MLK Day. If you can get out, they might have already started today, though. I'm not sure how it's going to be with COVID and pandemic, but there are a lot of different events around town. You can go down to go downtown. I think it's like Broadway. They do the parade that normally goes to Chilhowee Park. I'm not sure if they're doing that. Like I said, it's different things now with the pandemic. But
might be a little switched.
That's pretty interesting to do, to get out there. And like you say, remember the importance of the day, the importance of a great person. So there's a lot of great things you know, can do today if you got off and you want to go out and do some things.
It's something interesting. There are 10 national holidays, 10 federal holidays a year. And two of them are related to an individual or a person. Now, one of them is George Washington's birthday. We celebrate that one in February. But that is the birthday, right, of George Washington, somebody who was there for the beginning or the founding of this country. The other one that's not a Labor Day or a Veterans Day or Christmas Day or something like that, the only other one that's related to an individual is MLK Day. And I think that really stands out, and that really kind of tells you something there. About the symbol and about the life he had. So, man, keep that in mind today. But keep going around the horn. Charlie, how you doing this morning?
Not too shabby.
How's your weekend?
Not terrible.
Good. Good, good, good. And weekends good all around?
Yeah, man. Good weekend. Solid.
Good stuff.
Cannot complain.
Well, we certainly had a busy weekend, at least when it comes to the sports world and when we're coming out of the weekend. There are tons of things to talk about. First and foremost, we're down to four. We are down to four officially, the final four for the NFL playoffs in the AFC. We have the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, in the NFC, you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers. Guys, it's been a long season. It's been a wild season. There's been tons of ups and tons of downs. We didn't know entirely if it happened. It's followed the NBA bubble. It followed the MLB restart. It was pretty much the last one to go. And now after everything that's happened this season, some fans, some not, some postponements, some not. But after it all, we're down to our final four teams. Pretty cool, huh?
We finally made it.
Are you satisfied as a sports fan with the final four teams? Yeah. Like heading into next weekend?
Yeah.
I don't see what... I mean, you've got Rodgers, Brady.
Could be a final time as well with that.
To go to the Super Bowl. And then you've got kind of this new group of quarterbacks, the young guys, and Mahomes and Josh Allen. I mean, I think that game could be a shootout if everybody's healthy, but...
Yeah, you got four great quarterbacks all around. That's what, you know, Brandon was talking about. I know we were talking about last week. He's like, please give us Brady, Rodgers instead of, like, Goff or Rodgers or Goff or Breeze. So you got that in the NFC. And then, yeah, I mean, you got the two of the best gunslingers out west. Or not, I guess Bills aren't out west, but in the AFC, you got, yeah, Mahomes and Josh Allen. And two electric teams, not only at the quarterback position, but talk about some of their receivers and Stephon Diggs. And then you talk about a Tyreek Hill. And, you know, there's the – Mahomes going to be healthy?
Yeah. I mean that's the big question coming
that
out of the weekend,
right? Is he going to be playing? I mean, he was able to win in three quarters this past week.
Yeah, man, if this was professional wrestling, one might say that you have booked the territory perfectly. I mean, you have perfect storylines.
Great storylines.
Heading into the final, you know, the final game of each conference, just by happenstance.
And even the Super Bowl is going to be a great storyline no matter what. If Rodgers or Brady go, you have Brady going to the Super Bowl after nobody thought he could do it without Bill Belichick, and then here he is leading another team in his first year to the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. So that's a huge storyline. That goes back to GOAT conversation with Brady. Can he win a Super Bowl as an AFC player, and as on the NFC side? So that's a storyline itself. You'd have Rodgers going back. He hasn't been back since God knows when. I guess it was 2011.
Yeah, I was going to – is that really the last one? So he would be
2006.
There –
2006. I don't know. It he would be there ages ago.
It was 11, so
– 11, yeah. Okay, that's when they won it.
He would be there a decade after.
Yeah, and the last time when they won it, he didn't even get to go through Lambeau. I mean, they didn't even have the home field advantage.
Yeah, can
advantage.
You believe that this is his first time hosting an NFC championship game?
Yeah, in his career. So you have that storyline, and then you have those two quarterbacks who you can put up against Mahomes, the new guy who's the best in the league and who is the incumbent, you know, the defending Super Bowl champion. Or if it were to be Josh Allen, there's a lot of people didn't think he was going to be able to make it, thought he was a little overhyped coming out of Wyoming, and he has proved all the haters wrong, and he's definitely lived up to all the expectations. And then he'd have the Bills going back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1994. So there are storylines for whoever wins this game.
Yeah, disregarding
it writes itself, as you said, like a wrestling script.
Disregarding the Chiefs, it's going to be the first time back for everybody in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody definitely from the NFC between, like you were saying.
It first time for the Bucs since I was in high school when they won it in 99, 2000, sometime around there with John Gruden.
So there's a ton of fun storylines coming out of this weekend, and we'll be sure to kind of break all that down coming up soon because it really was an awesome weekend, and it is set up perfectly for just great storylines heading into next week. But other than that, Tennessee had a basketball game of the weekend, continued SEC conference play as a big victory at home on the final scoreboard against Vanderbilt. I believe they won by a 20-point margin, 81-61. So we'll be getting into that game as well coming up here soon. And kind of just talking about the SEC a little bit. Oh, that was it. Going back a second to the NFL conversation. Brandon and I, when we were watching the end of the Buccaneers and the Saints game yesterday, we started going back and forth a little bit about the Brady Belichick conversation. So at some point, I do want to throw that down on the table and see what you guys think about it whenever we get to that conversation coming up a little bit later.
Rick.
Yeah.
You've missed maybe the most obvious thing that we have for today. We got rumors.
Is there football news?
Oh, we got big, big time rumors, Chance.
Nice. Chance.
One Vol rumor mill saying that there is currently a meeting
to discuss the fate
happening as we speak to discuss the fate of one Jeremy Pruitt.
As we speak,
as
the doors
we speak.
Were closed.
So what you're saying is that there is a slight chance for maybe the first time in Blitz history for the news to happen before we get off the air.
No, we won't get that lucky.
There could be a press conference announced today. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen.
It'll come
there's
later.
There's a chance.
It'll come later in the afternoon.
An SEC writer last night also tweeted, coaching search season is not over yet, with a little eyeball emojis at like midnight.
Interesting. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen today, but the rumors are swirling. There's a little
swirling rumor, don't you?
There's a few other Tennessee. There's some more Tennessee news that we can get into as well. A little bit later on in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. We're gonna stick around with that and try to track that news story as long as we can. And that was fairly recent, right? That they were talking about that on 3 and Out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
That was some third hour stuff, right?
It was after I woke up, so.
So late, yeah. So we'll keep you updated on that, and I guess between the breaks here, we'll certainly walk outside and go talk to those guys and see if there's anything else they know. But hey, it's going to be another big week. It's going to be another big week on the show today. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. And hey, we'd love to hear from you. Hopefully you aren't at work today, or hopefully you're not at on your way to that job. We would love to hear from you today. We'd love to spend a couple minutes with you. So please give us a call, and Chance will answer you on the other side and get you in. Otherwise, let's get into these sports right here on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Blitz. Sweat running all over my chest. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz, 1020 AM, 865-546-8200. That is your number as always. We are keeping track of the Tennessee football rumors happening right now. There's a little bit of speculation. There's a little bit of talk, Brandon, going around that today could be the day. Now, granted, we've heard that a couple of times now so far. But today could be different.
Well, we've heard that today could be the day. We've heard that a couple times, but there's a little bit more. There's a little bit more. We got the meeting going on. Allegedly, there's supposed to be a press conference later in the day.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we'll keep our ear to the ground.
I guess I did kind of set that up in not the exact right way, because you're right.
What if
it's
just a press conference to say we've done our investigation and
cool.
And found nothing?
Well, at least one way or another we'll know something.
That can't happen. That can't happen that they come out and say we found nothing, right?
Well, they come out and pose whatever little bitty sanctions they do or something.
Turns out we're super clean.
Yeah.
Someone just like threw out a tip. It was completely wrong. We're doing great.
No consequences necessary. So we'll keep an idea. But, you know, a lot of the times we've heard, you know, that today could be the day and some people start getting their hopes up. But a lot of the times so far that's come from either, you know, oh, it makes sense that it would be this day. You know, a lot of people thought maybe it'd be last weekend because that was a little bit after, you know, some of the investigations or some of the interviews had wrapped up. Or, you know, sometimes, of course, With this fan base, you're always going to get one or two of the, you know, well, my cousin, he got a text from a guy, and that's not what we're talking about today, right? From everything we've heard from this morning, from everything you've told me, it's a little bit more sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, Houston had it on 3-and-out, so if you want what he directly said, you can check out Hour 3 of their podcast, but... somebody that he knows on the inside.
Yeah.
Who apparently has never been wrong before.
Okay.
So, we'll see. Also.
Yeah.
This
other big news, too.
This.
Did we miss another tease?
This piece of news, I think, adds a little bit more credibility to that. You had yesterday, Bruce Feldman, tight ends coach Joe Osovet, is in the mix for the vacant UCF wide receiver coaching job. And has already interviewed for the job, per source. So you've got Osovet trying to jump ship.
Okay. So he could potentially be on the way out.
Could be.
Austin Pope.
Ah, yes.
Pardon me. Austin Pope, who was known to, or not known, but have heard to not like Pruitt, and for Pruitt to have influenced his transfer, decided to come back to Tennessee yesterday and withdraw from the portal. Could that also be telling?
Could that be indicative in any kind of way? I don't know. You know, I think my at first kind of gut reaction, you at least think to yourself, well, hey, Tennessee's going to get a tight end back at least. You know, your whole tight end room didn't hit the transfer portal. So on one end, that's great. But I don't know. I don't know what that means about the future. You know, we will obviously, you know, talk about anything we hear over the next hour and a half or so. And everything else on Fan Run, we'll continue that story going today. One of the conversations that we've had a lot about this coaching staff is, and Brandon, I know that, you know, we've talked about this off air quite often, and I've seen people on Twitter talk about it. We've all talked about it on the show, but, you know, a lot of the coaching staff changes so far, a lot of the small little things so far that have happened have all been with the defensive side. And we've really been asking ourselves, hey, we need something to change on the offensive side, right? We need a little bit of something there because I think to us, maybe to an extent, we think that that was more of a consequential factor for this Tennessee team last year. And we've been sitting here saying, you know, nothing's happening. There was a hiring freeze, but was there really? And you still don't have an offensive line coach. You know, who are you waiting for at this point? But I will say that Tennessee might have still addressed the number one issue of last year, and I don't know how they're going to address it going into next year, but I actually did spend a little bit of time over the weekend looking at Tennessee's transfer quarterback, Hendon Hooker, and I do really like this guy. I do think he can play, and he is a talented quarterback who can really extend plays, and he can make things happen. So, you know, on one hand, I do think about it, you know, that's going to be a big change to the offense, potentially, I guess depending on how they use him, but at the same time, man, if now what you're talking about, you lose a wide receivers coach, right? Or excuse me, not a wide receiver.
Tight ends.
You lose your tight ends coach. That's another vacancy to fill on the offensive side. And it feels like all the resources right now, even with the, you know, going out to the West Coast to talk to your defensive guys, feels like all the resources are going into that side of the ball. And granted, maybe we just don't know.
Well, I mean, I
but I'd
I
like
don't,
to see something.
I mean, I don't think any of us know. And like, what's exactly going on with Pruitt and the hiring freeze, and just how confusing everything has seemed? But, I mean, the only hire that we've made was Kevin Steele, and to me, that feels like a Philip Fulmer move.
Mm-hmm.
To me. And that's purely my opinion. But if the hiring freeze is over and we can hire people, why have we not had an offensive line coach for what seems like a month now? It may actually be a month. You've not had a defensive line coach since week, what?
Oh, yeah.
Five?
Yeah.
I mean, it just... It doesn't make sense. Why, you know, why are we not filling these positions?
I'm curious with the whole.
I don't think he can, I don't think Jeremy Pruitt can hire. I think that was a former decision.
So even with the, you know, going back to the whole Steele thing, where you say that it feels to you still like a very Fulmer decision, you know, I'd imagine it'd be dumb to think they weren't both a part of the, you know, the hire to some factor. We know that Pruitt and Steele are close friends. They've worked together on a staff before. And obviously, Fulmer, you know, with Steele being a former Tennessee alumni or player, of course they're going to have some kind of relationship and connection. But are you still feeling that way, even with the reports, you know, that we had heard that Pruitt was, you know, Pruitt made the hire for Steele himself. He wanted him directly on his staff.
Oh, because Doug Matthews said it?
David Ubbin said it first. He just didn't, you know, he just didn't go yell it on a radio program. But he said it the day that it got hired.
That it was Pruitt's hire?
He did.
Well, if that's the case, why have we not hired? Why do we still refuse to hire an offensive line coach?
I don't know.
If he can hire, why are we not hiring?
It'd be like that.
Nothing makes sense.
In other positive news, what I was talking about earlier, Caden Salter's on campus. He tweeted out, "Knoxville, I'm here. Go Big Orange." Big orange emoji.
Played in a state championship Saturday and
guess he,
Knoxville on Sunday.
Yeah, was here yesterday. He's early enrollee, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Caden Salter is in the house. He said, Knoxville, I'm here yesterday. I don't know. I was wondering, is he an early enrollee or something?
Yes, yeah.
I don't know if he just ended up more on my timeline because I guess we're getting closer to him, you know, obviously coming to campus and now he's here. But I have, you know, he has been everywhere lately. That guy has been electric on just like the recruiting news cycle or on the newswire about his playoff run in Texas and everything like that.
I'm not doing it.
What?
I'm not buying in. I'm not buying into the hype. Nope. No more.
Like into his hype?
Really? Any freshman quarterback. Well, no. No more.
Here's the thing. Let me
He looks pretty good, Brandon.
Nope. I don't care.
You can
show me.
Okay, can I give you a suggestion?
30 seconds.
Football is big time.
You can buy into the hype as him as a high school player. Right, like as a high school player, I think he is that guy.
I don't
care.
He's
that good.
I don't care what he did in high school.
But you don't have the faith that when he comes to Tennessee, when he steps onto the field, that we have the ability to develop into him, to develop him to a great college quarterback.
Yeah, that's what you should say.
That's what you should say.
Because sometimes they're really good when they come here, and then we just don't develop
really
them,
good.
And then we make them suck.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
I want to see it first. I'm not buying in. I'm not going to praise some high school senior. No, not going to do it.
I'm going to buy into
By the way, we weren't just praising him a lot then. We're saying he was on campus, Brandon. Didn't mean to trigger you.
Very Brandon's easily triggered today.
He's triggered today. We're just saying that he's on campus.
I'm going to buy into the fact that this guy has game-changing playmaking abilities. Is Tennessee going to do the right thing and put him in a position to set him up to win? Right? That's half the question, like Chance said. Think about how many guys come onto this campus with top-notch high school talent.
Well, I think about it that and then think about the guys that pretty good came here. When they came here, they were pretty good in high school, but then whatever didn't work out, they didn't get the play time, they didn't do well, were put in bad situations. Then we sent them elsewhere, and they did well, and they went on to the NFL. Things
you're
like
that.
Well,
you're going to want Shrout tear it up yeah. Boulder.
He's going to be like the Peter Man, Riley Ferguson. He did good once he got out of here. I mean, there's been a bunch of quarterbacks that Tennessee has just not been a great place for.
Peterman is the
Peterman
is the alter ego to Spider-Man. It's Peter Parker, but it's Peterman.
The Peterman.
Oh man,
he's still on the NFL roster somewhere, probably practice squad at least, maybe a backup third stringer.
Him and Marcus were going back and forth with each other all year.
Third stringer? Is he a third stringer?
Were they? Yeah. In Vegas?
In Vegas, when Marcus got off the IR, he was battling with Nathan Peterman.
So yeah, he's still a backup for the Raiders.
When Mariota
he's
a third came string in now, a couple weeks ago, was Peterman available? And
Mariota had won the backup job back. At one point, Mariota was third because John Gruden loves Nathan Peterman.
He does.
Absolutely adores him, and it makes no sense.
You know, there were a lot of great NFL moments this year. That had to have been one of them, I think. Kind of just a standout moment. Maybe it didn't have any kind of effect on where we are here today with the final four teams, but just looking back to the what I believe is the great moments of the NFL season, that is certainly one of them, when Mariota came in and played great for the Raiders. But speaking of other great moments from the NFL season, they've all kind of led to where we are now. Over the last 2 days, you've had four games to get to the conference finals for each conference in the NFL. Coming up after the break, we'll start and take a look over to those NFL games from the weekend. Tell you about who moved on and kind of some of those matchups coming up on Sunday, as we got a game at 3 and I think a game at 6:40 or I don't know, one of those early times again like it was yesterday. So either way, hey, we got some NFL conversation coming up next, talking a little bit of playoffs right here in Blitz. All right, gentlemen, back here on the Blitz, 10:37 a.m. Hopefully you had a nice weekend and enjoyed a little bit of snow flurries throughout the weekend. I know that throughout the day and even when we were, you know, we fired up the grill last night. Oh, some mixed veggies, burgers, bacon burgers. But while we were doing it, little snow flurries outside. So hopefully maybe you got to go outside and even though it was cold, enjoy the outside a little bit. But speaking of cold weather, well, that was the setting for plenty of the NFL playoff games over the weekend as, man, there were some bangers going on over the last 2 days in the league. Starting things off on Saturday, guys, we'll just go in order. Green Bay defeats the Los Angeles Rams. Actually, let's go by conference. So let's start with the NFC. Green Bay defeats the Rams on Saturday afternoon by a score of 32-18. Now, I do believe that this game was a little bit closer than the final score might indicate, as Green Bay did get a nice little touchdown in the fourth quarter there with LA scoring nothing. Here's the crazy thing about this game, and Chance, I'll turn it over to you soon as you are our resident expert on the team in green and gold. But, you know, you look at the stat lines from this game, and I think the biggest question mark or the biggest storyline coming into this game that was intriguing was the Packers' electric offense led by Aaron Rodgers versus the Rams' stellar pass defense.
Yeah, number one offense versus number one, you know, total defense scoring defense.
And Aaron Rodgers ended up winning the battle, but and to me, in a very fascinating way that I think, you know, shows exactly why the Rams are the best defense or with the best pass defense. So he had 23 completions on the day. 8 of those completions were behind the line of scrimmage, right? A lot of screen passes, a lot of get the ball to the receiver and let the receiver, right, do the work from there, because it is going to be hard to complete your passes. So you had 8 passes that were completed behind the line. That's a third of his completions, and only 5 that were more than 10 yards downfield. So the Packers knew that it was going to be hard to throw the ball downfield. They became smarter.
Dink and dunk
smarter,
them.
Not harder. Give it to Devontae Adams. Give it to some of those guys on the outside and let them go to work. And I think that's why the Packers right now are on a different level. To me, that's why they look like the best team coming out of the weekend.
Yeah, LaFleur and Rodgers really pair well. I think you saw it last year with some of the things that you saw a glimpse of it, but really this season it's been on full display. The things that he's able to draw up for Aaron Rodgers and just the way they complement each other. Like you said, they did some new things. But again, the best thing that's helped the Packers all year is it was just more balance. I mean, their defense played great. Defensive line. I mean, Cam Akers had he still had a day, but I mean, on 18 carries, and he had a couple breaks here and there, but as far as like over the top, I mean, it helped out. There was no Cooper Kupp, but they kept everything in front of them as far as those DBs. I mean, they're no big plays at all. They give up one receiving touchdown on the day, I believe. It was only one. Yeah, they only give up one. So they really did a good job through the air, which the secondary's been doing. But on the offensive side of the ball, it was getting Aaron Jones involved. He was averaging 7 yards carry, and he just would not go down.
They got a nice three-headed monster cooking.
Yeah, he had a lot of backfield. Yeah, he's breaking tackles. Jamal Williams, he's been a good change of pace, and then also been in there when Aaron Jones went down this year and even last year, and he had a decent game. He's averaging 5 yards carry. You talk about A.J. Dillon, somebody they got in the draft that helped him out, I mean, considerably down the stretch too. Like, he did a decent job. And they did other things like moving Devontae Adams behind the line of scrimmage in motion, trying to get him that quick touchdown out past.
That was real nice.
That was really nice. It was spot on to him and in stride.
I think that frustrated Ramsey early in the game.
Early in the game.
I think you could tell.
They did different things.
They were chopping up at each other before the game as well. Let's give the people what they came for.
Doing it after the game. I mean, before the game, during the game. And they moved him around so they couldn't just, like, you know, Jalen Ramsey had to really be on his P's and Q's. He played well as he always does. 9 receptions, 66 yards, a touchdown. But then they stretched the field out with Lazard. I mean, he gets the big 58-yard touchdown catch. I think that was either right before the half or third quarter. And that kind of put it out of reach. But it was balanced. Defense played well. The rushing attack was there. And then Aaron Rodgers did Aaron Rodgers things. And he's been great all season. Hope it continues as a fan. And I hope they get a little payback versus the Buccaneers. I'm a little scared. The Bucs beat the hell out of them in that week. I think it was week 4 matchup. But they got a tough game ahead.
They did. The Bucs toasted them back
like 40-3.
38-3 something like that. But that's the NFC Championship game coming up. You got the Buccaneers taking on those Packers. Brandon, how likely is it that the Buccaneers can travel all the way up north to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Tom Brady can do it? He can take down Rodgers in their first playoff matchup.
Well, I mean, I think he can do it. I mean, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT.
You saying that he can't do it?
No, he's just asking.
Oh, I certainly think he could do it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he will. What's the forecast going to be like in Green Bay on Sunday?
I haven't looked at that yet. I imagine still pretty cold. They had some flurries in this past game, but
it was pretty warm.
Yeah, that's
pretty
what I'm saying. But it wasn't as Saturday. Cold as what, you know, expected to be, or anything that really affected. On Sunday, they have,
and it's the early game too. So 3.
Yeah, I'm seeing no precipitation in the forecast. A high of 30, low of 28.
Oh, that's doable.
That's doable.
I mean, it's a little cold,
sides.
But
yeah,
that's
cold.
But they're both used to playing in the cold. I mean, Brady's played in the snow numerous times in Foxborough, some cold playoff games, and also, you know, Rodgers as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough matchup for the Pack, man. It's going
to
be tough.
He knows how to certainly how to gear up for it, even if he might not like it anymore. But
as a Packers fan, I definitely would have rather been playing the Saints. Because you saw in that game last night, I know we're going to get to, the Drew Brees doesn't have the arm strength anymore. I'd love to be playing the Saints.
He took him out of that dome, too.
Love. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that's just
over.
Mother Nature working its job.
Father Time.
He is Tampa Bay and Tom Brady are headed to the NFC Championship after taking down Drew Brees and the Saints, like Chance mentioned a second ago, by a score of 30-20. Man, watching this game yesterday, you kind of did get that feel, especially with it being Sunday Night Football, the final playoff game in the series, the final kind of event of the weekend. You do kind of feel this Clash of the Titans mentality, kind of this, you know, almost Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 25, the, you know, two legends going out, you know, at the end of their careers. And for Drew Brees, just was not his night. You know, they managed to put 20 points up on the board, but he threw three interceptions in the process, only 134 yards, and it was a tough night. Tough night for both quarterbacks for the most part, really. But the Saints just couldn't get enough going. Now many people are asking, is that the final time that we see Drew Brees? Charlie, what do you think about that? You're a betting man. Don't even have to say if you were a betting man. Would you bet that we see Drew Brees take the field next season for the Saints?
I think that the decision based on yesterday's outcome will be a little bit less immediate, just because that's a tough taste to have left in your mouth when you underperformed in a playoff loss at home. But he's going to get to a point where he realizes this offseason that he can't play anymore. As sad as that may be, maybe he doesn't want to retire, but he's going to retire. He's not going to play again just because his body, I mean, is giving out on him. He's taken a lot of blows in his career. He's made a lot of throws. And, you know, he doesn't have the arm anymore. He was playing through cracked ribs this year at one point. He just can't continue.
I think he might already know it's over. I mean, I think the video last night with him and Brady on the field and Breeze's kids are there, I think that was kind of – that was it. I think that was kind of him taking it all in the last time that he's probably going to be on that field. I think that's it.
Yeah, I agree. I was just saying, based on the nature of that loss, he might – wait just a little bit longer to officially announce it, just because there's going to be parts of him that
would make
thinking,
sense.
Oh, I want to try one more time.
Yeah, maybe you got to kind of, you know, not recover, but, you know, get over the loss first before making any kind of decision like that. Because you're right, it probably does linger to some kind of extent. But, man, I can't wait for that NFC Championship game. It's going to be awesome. Talk about a clash of the Titans in that one last night. You have one coming up Sunday afternoon as well. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers hosting their first, the first ever NFC Championship game in the Aaron Rodgers era, taking on Tampa Bay and Tom Brady for their first season together as well. It's going to be fantastic. Going to be great. Hey, let's do this. Let's go ahead and save the AFC conversation for sometime in the second hour, because we definitely got to get into that as well. But we'll go ahead and take our break here, wrap up the first hour of the show with something good on the other side, and then see what we can get into. Coming up at 11 a.m., though, we'll talk about this Tennessee basketball team, where they are in the net rankings, and what's coming up next. Where are they going? Don't go anywhere. All day basketball. That is what is on the menu for you today from the NBA, and it is a good slate of games. I know I can't wait to get home after the show today and really kind of just plant myself on the couch for a little while, enjoy this MLK Day day off otherwise, and watch a little NBA basketball. But, man, this has been a lot of fun. Basketball is back, and you know what that means. It's time to get fired up about the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You know, it actually... just like we have been the last couple of months, really. From the opening tip to the final buzzer, there are so many ways to bet with FanDuel. Man, there's a lot of great ways, and there's a lot of great things about betting with FanDuel that we love, especially here on this show. It's easy to use, man. Whether you are an experienced bettor, right, with different apps and things like that, right? You know all the different lingo, and you know all the different types of bets and things like that with the sports books. Man, there are so many great options for you to use. But if you've never done anything kind of like this before, if you're like me in November and you never done anything like this, then it's still a really great entry point into what it is, right? There's a lot of great odds boosts, things like that.
Same game parlay.
Same game parlays. And of course, the best part about all, doesn't matter if you're experienced or a beginner, the payouts are fast. FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So, hey, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot if you never have before. Look, we got NBA games today. Maybe you can go line up a parlay. Chance, Brandon, Charlie, has anybody looked at the games yet today?
Oh,
has anybody lined anything up?
I've already lined up my parlay for the day.
I already set up a nice teaser.
Yeah, I've got a nice one for the day. Kicking off, we have the Knicks taking on the Magic in Madison Square Garden. Then throughout the day, T-Wolves, Hawks, as Brandon said, starts at noon, goes all day long, as Rick told you, the fun all day long on the FanDuel Sports app. Plenty of great betting options. And to cap it off for the nightcap, we have the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
Great basketball all day long.
Looks like for the crowd right here at the table, three out of our four teams play.
Yep.
Looks like you'll have the Heat going on at 3 o'clock. The Bulls get 8 o'clock and the Mavericks get 7:30 as well. So that's fun for us, but no matter who your team is, it is a lot of fun to make a little bit of money along the way. And in order to do so, here is a great option for you. If you sign up today, FanDuel will let you place your first bet risk-free. That's right, they'll give you up to $1,000 back if you don't win. And when you do win, FanDuel pays your winnings in as little as 24 hours. You don't have to track down some shady bookie for your money. You don't have to go through all these back routes or these different kind of wiring situations. You don't want to do that. You want to use FanDuel, who gets your money safely and securely in 24 hours. So look, do this. Do me a favor. When you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, we'll sign up with promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. So they know that the right people, us, sent you to the right place, FanDuel. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BLITZ. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Signed credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. So y'all got some good bets lined up for today, huh?
I hope they're good. I hope they're good. I got a long, you know, just big parlay, kind of one of those you just throw out there. I went with, you know, all 15 or all, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all 10 games today in the NBA, and then throw on some college basketball games.
Like, there's a good college basketball game today.
There's a good
Baylor,
one.
Baylor, Kansas.
Yeah, I threw some of those in there, just like some long shots of, like, teams that I know that are supposed to, you know, go out and really kick some ass today. So I've got one set up. Now, you know, what I will go back today, later on in the afternoon, I'll find an NBA game that I like where I feel like I can really pick out who some of the scores are going to be, and I'll do some of those same game parlays.
You know, betting is a lot like fishing, right? Sometimes you cast it out there, and the whole goal is to bring it back in as fast as you can, right? You're making these quick, snappy bets. Maybe it's a halftime spread, right? Maybe it's
a live bet.
I know I get in trouble in the golfing world, right? Because I'll be like, I know he's gonna birdie this hole, so I'll just throw some money down quick on a hole. But sometimes it's like when you, like just Chance said, you cast it out there, you just gotta let it sit.
Let's wait all day.
You watch the bobber, you might crack a beer. You might crack a White Claw. It's probably better. That's what I would do. Sometimes you just got to let it wait. Either way, both great options. Both will pay you a nice little wager there.
Oh, yeah. And I like to do those. Keeps me entertained. It's 15-team parlay. Odds are not the greatest, but it's something that I can have fun with. Last week I did one. Only reason why I lost, because I believed in Mississippi State over Texas A&M.
I lost on that too.
I had a big parlay. I had a 14-team parlay. That's the only one I lost on.
And they choked.
Yeah, bad.
Happens to the best of us.
Bad.